Hello and welcome to another mini episode of The Right Question, a radio program and podcast featuring authors from the American West and beyond. Our funding comes from Humanities Montana and members of Montana Public Radio, and from the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communication on issues, trends, and values of importance to Montanans. I'm Lauren Korn, speaking with writer, instructor, and landscape designer and historian Catherine Alto, author of Writing Wild, Women Poets, Ramblers, and Mavericks Who Shape How We See the Natural World. Catherine Alto is the author of three books, including Writing Wild, as well as The Natural World of Winnie the Pooh, A Walk Through the Forest That Inspired the Hundred Acre Wood, and Nature and Human Intervention. A personal essayist and book reviewer, her work appears in Smithsonian Magazine, Outside, Sierra, BuzzFeed, Resurgence and the Ecologist, and more. She is currently working on her fourth book. Catherine, welcome to The Right Question.
Thank you, Lauren, for having me. It's a delight to be here.
What does wild mean to you? And I'm going to expand on that question because you write a bit about this in your introduction to Writing Wild, but I'd love listeners to get a sense of how you approached the many definitions of wild when compiling this collection. So what does wild mean?
Wild is a very fraught term these days, and some would argue that there's nothing left that is wild in this, in the Anthropocene, this human-altered climate that we live in right now. So as I write in Writing Wild, I'm playing loose with the term, and the women who I feature in Writing Wild, the first women actually lived in an age, Dorothy Wordsworth, Susan Fenimore Cooper, lived in an age when things were more wild and they weren't touched by the Industrial Revolution. And so featuring these women was really important. They were really interesting counterpoints to women who wrote later about the altered environment that we live in. For example, Elizabeth Rush, who writes Rising about the dispatches from the new American shore. And so these profiles of women really show how we've changed the climate, changed the environment, and through their personal essays and through their portraits of place, we see a wilderness that has changed. At the same time, I also write about something that doesn't change. It's this innate sense of wildness that we all carry inside, and this idea that yes, we do live in an altered climate and we do live in altered places and spaces, but we are animals. We are part of this ecosystem. We are part of this web of life. And a lot of these women that I write about are trying to understand that wilderness that they carry within themselves.
How did you choose the women who make up this collection?
I began to think of myself as kind of a jeweler in a way, that I had this idea that I wanted to create a gem, this multifaceted gem that brought as much light into our understanding of women's contributions to nature writing. So I wanted to make it as multifaceted as possible. So I was thinking, I was constantly sort of cutting the gem and thinking, does this person's writing and experience illuminate this field a little bit more? And so originally it was just going to be about 40 women and I was going to write essays about them really short. And then I thought, no, I really can't do justice to it. So then I talked to my publisher and I said, I'm going to do 25 essays. They're going to be a little bit longer. And then at the end of each essay, most of the essays, not all, I recommend like three other women to explore that write within that area. So for example, about Mary Oliver, I talk about three other poets people can read. Or Elizabeth Rush, three other women who are writing about climate change. So basically, it comes to about 75 women in total. And the little summaries at the end are kind of like side paths that people can take to explore this area a little bit more. So that's how I came at it.
I want to go back to the beginning of our conversation when I asked you about the idea or the definition of wild. You're a landscape historian and designer, as well as an instructor and writer. And it's really easy to see, at least for me, that nature writing and eco-critical writing, there are intersections between those interests. But I'm wondering how your garden design work, your landscape historian and designer work, intersects the ways that you think about nature and the wild. Because, you know, landscape design is very insular, I imagine. You're talking about a space and usually a public space. And so perhaps my question is less about those intersections between wild and not, but more about public and private. I'm not quite sure.
Great question. So what binds the two, I'm not a landscape architect. I'm a garden designer, landscape designer. So I really mostly enjoy public spaces. I've designed for University of Birmingham. I've designed hospice gardens and that kind of thing. I love community spaces. But what binds the two, sort of writing about the natural world and creating designs, landscape design, is that I feel like I'm crafting a story with both. And so in one, I'm writing, in a sense, designing with plants, but I'm creating a narrative. And I really understand, is this a garden about their, is it an internal garden for themselves, or is it more of an external garden for the front space? What are they trying to live in harmony with the native plants in the area? Are they trying to impose an English garden in a desert landscape, which makes no sense, but some people do that. So that's the intersection between the two.
You are facilitating a really exciting event that is taking place in April. Tell our listeners about that event.
Yeah, so I founded the Rural Writing Institute in the Lake District with the bestselling author James Rebanks, who wrote The Shepherd's Life and English Pastoral. And one of my students who came last year is from Montana. And she said, you must come to Montana and do the same thing. So we have created this retreat called the Retreat into the Montana Rockies. And it will be in April 14th through 16th. And I have invited Bryce Andrews, who's written Down from the Mountain, Bad Luck Way, and his new book, Holding Fire, A Reckoning with the American West. So he is coming to teach about finding stories in the everyday. So that's his topic. And then we also have Pete Fromm, who's coming. And I'm sure of course, everyone knows Pete Fromm. He's written, you know, five short story collections, five novels, two memoirs. And he is going to be teaching a couple of seminars as well. And he's got an eye toward tactics for successfully using description. And he is going to be talking about strategies for developing a narrative arc where in stories where nature is the main character. And I will be teaching workshops on the personal essay, elements of narrative nonfiction, and creating a writing practice. So the focus is on nature writing and narrative nonfiction techniques. And because it's such a short time period that all of the sessions are together.
Okay, so this retreat into the Montana Rockies is taking place April 14th through the 16th at the Lodges at Seeley Lake. And I imagine that interested listeners can go to your website, katherinealto.com, to register and find out more information. Is there anything else you want listeners to know about this particular event or this retreat broadly?
It's for emerging to experienced writers. There's going to be people from all over the United States coming. And we're really excited to have it at the Lodge there on Seeley Lake.
We are recording this conversation in March, Women's History Month. What responsibilities, Katherine, do you feel you carry personally as a woman writer each time you sit down to write?
Lauren, that is a good question. I would say that my answer might surprise you. I was a women's studies minor at Berkeley, but people ask me all the time, do men and women write differently about the natural world? And my answer will probably surprise and maybe anger people, but it's subjective. And that is to say, if people use techniques of narrative nonfiction or literary journalism or you know, creative nonfiction, they're, it's all the same. If we put ourselves into the narrative, if we're empathetic and we see the landscape and we see plants as having backstories that we don't understand and that we need to do our research and understand them. If we use figurative language that is poetic, if we write about sense of place in a very moving way, sense of place is that invisible layer of memories and history and emotions that cover a physical landscape with this invisible strata, that I would say that it's genderless, it's sexless, that you don't have to be, you can be a male and be maternal. You don't have to have children to be maternal. You don't have to have a biological children to feel maternal toward the landscape. So I would say I have a responsibility to the natural world. I want there to be a sense of equality that men can write in a florid way if they want, women can write in a way that might be, whichever. I want it to be sexless and genderless.
Catherine, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you so much, Lauren, for having me. Take care.
That was Catherine Alto, author of Writing Wild: Women Poets, Ramblers, and Mavericks Who Shape How We See the Natural World, out now from Timber Press. To register for the writing retreat Catherine spoke about in this episode, go to Catherine's website, catherinealto.com. That's KatherineAlto.com. The retreat into the Montana Rockies takes place April 14th through the 16th at the lodges at Seeley Lake. Look for more information about Catherine at mtpr.org, where you can also subscribe to our podcast and follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You've been listening to The Right Question. This episode was produced by me. I'm your host, Lauren Korn. Chris Moyles engineered this episode. Our artwork was designed for The Right Question by Molly Russell, and our music was written and recorded by John Floridis. Funding for The Right Question is provided by the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communication on issues, trends, and values of importance to Montanans. Many thanks to Humanities Montana for supporting this program since 2008, and thank you for listening. The Right Question is a production of Montana Public Radio.